Good morning. Good morning to each one of you, and welcome to our Sunday morning service here at Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. We're glad to have you join us this morning. We are not meeting here in the building right now. The incidence of the coronavirus is too high to make that safe, but we are very thankful to be able to stream our services, and we're thankful to God to make that possible. And we're glad that you have joined us this morning as we found these ways to assemble together, to join our voices in praise of God Almighty. As we enter into our worship service this morning, I want to share with you the first three verses of Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Now, let's all join our voices together as we praise God Almighty.
Holy, holy, holy. Yeah. Now we'll go to our Father in prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you and give you glory and honor as the Creator, as our Lord and God. But not only that, Lord, we give you thanks because of your love for us and the fact that you have adopted us as sons and daughters. Lord, you have redeemed us and saved us from our sins, and we thank you for this. Lord, there are many things on our hearts right now. We give you thanks for the blessings and the joys that you've given us. And Lord, for where we struggle and sin and where we have sorrow in our hearts, Lord, we pray for your strength and your blessings that we might overcome and that we might find new joy in life to give thanks to you. Lord, we pray that you would bless this church. During this very difficult time, we pray that you would keep us safe from this virus. We also pray, Lord, that you would strengthen each of us spiritually. And Lord, that even though we are all separate from each other, we pray that you would draw us closer together in spirit and in our hearts and love. Lord, help us to love one another. Bless this time, and in your Son's name, amen.
Before the scripture reading and the sermon, we will sing two hymns. The first is Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Belongs to the Lord.
The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned The scripture reading this morning will be taken from Psalms chapter 38, verses 21 and 22. I'll be reading from the ESV. That's Psalm chapter 38, verses 21 and 22. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation.
My God, why have you forsaken me? How many times in human history has that been said, or something like it? Forsaken by God. We feel like the world has crashed in and God has forgotten us. Maybe it's been a death. Maybe it's been the destruction of a relationship, loss of health, financial ruin. My God, why have you forsaken me? And we see forsake as carries the intention of no return, finality. It seems that he's left us. And we read passages in the scriptures that tell us of hope. Listen, like Psalm 9, 9th chapter, 9th Psalm and verse 9, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. How about Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How about Matthew 28, where Jesus says, and behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. And again in Hebrews 13th chapter, and he's quoting from Joshua, says, the writer says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Yet we feel forsaken and forgotten by God. Why is that? What caused that to be? Why do we feel that way? Well, for many, it seems that we expect God to take care of us, regardless of whether we do anything whether we have a relationship with him or not. We expect him to be a loving God and take care of us whenever things go wrong, anytime we're in trouble. And I think this was expressed very well in a song some years ago. The song was entitled Alone Again, Naturally. And it was written by Gilbert O'Sullivan. It was quite popular when it was out, and it sound has a very good sound to it, but the words are quite discouraging. Starts out with a song, he's contemplating suicide, and then talks about something good really about to happen, and then it kind of falls apart. But I want to read you some of the lyrics. It says, but as if to knock me down, reality came around and without so much as a mere touch cut me into little pieces, leaving me to doubt all about God and his mercy. For if he really does exist, why did he desert me in my hour of need? I truly am indeed alone again, naturally. It seems to me that there are more hearts broken in the world that can't be mended, left unattended. What do we do? What do we do? As Christians, we know that without faith, it's impossible to please him. We find in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we find that that's stated very clearly. Remember those passages I read to you a while ago? Let's go back and look at those some more. Let's look at the ninth Psalm. A while ago, I read to you Psalm 9, verse 9. Let's look at this in a little more detail. I'm looking at Psalm, the ninth Psalm, verse 9, where it says, "The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble." And verse 10, "And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Are we seeking God? And again, let's look at the 23rd Psalm. You probably know more about this one. The 23rd Psalm. Look how it starts. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." The shepherd implies a relationship, a trusting, a following relationship. And because of that relationship, then David is able to say, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." It's based on the relationship. Read again in Matthew 28. Matthew, the 28th chapter, where he says, "I'm with you always." Yes. This is when he was talking to the 11 disciples and he sent them out. He says in verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Again, it sounds conditional. He gave us instructions and is expecting obedience. All right. How about Hebrews? Hebrews, the 13th chapter, where I quoted before. And the Hebrews 13th chapter, and I was looking at about verse 6. Hebrews 13, let's look at the context. Beginning in Hebrews 13, verse 1, he talks about love. "Don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Remember those who are in prison and those who are mistreated." Talks about marriage. Verse 5, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Looking at what the writer here is talking about, it seems that the "I will never leave you" again is conditional upon our obedience and on our trust in God. Okay, so I believe him. I know he exists. Why do I still feel forsaken? Why is that? Let's look at two individuals. These men were specifically selected by God, individually, by name. They were selected to do his will, to do a job for him. So let's look at these two men. King Saul, you've heard of Saul. We can read about him all through 1 Samuel 9, chapters 9 through 31. And I want to read you something about Saul. This is what I'm going to read is from 1 Samuel 28, beginning of verse 5, beginning in verse 15. And Saul was selected by God himself to be the first king, and he was king. And now this is right the day before, the night before he died. And he was talking to Samuel. And Samuel says, well, why are you asking me stuff? And then Saul says in verse 15, I'm in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I've summoned you to tell me what I shall do. And Samuel said, why do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, David. It's because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Forsaken by God, Saul was forsaken because of his disobedience. He left God. So God was no longer there to support him. One more. Judas Iscariot. We read where Jesus called his disciples together. He prayed all night. Then he called all of his disciples together, a whole bunch of them, and he picked out 12. 12. And you can read this in Mark, the third chapter. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. Judas Iscariot had the authority to preach Jesus and to cast out demons. He turned against Jesus. He turned against him. And here's what Jesus had to say about that. Matthew, the 26th chapter, in verse 24, you can read, says, the Son of Man goes as is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had never been born. Forsaken by God. Because he left God. But we say, okay, I know those people. I recognize them. I learned from their mistakes. I have not left God. I'm still with God. Why do we still feel forsaken? Why do we still feel left? I want to look again at a few people from the Bible and see if we can identify with them. These are people that never left God. They always believed him. They had faith. They followed him. They still felt forsaken. And look at Gideon in Judges, the 6th chapter. Here was Gideon. He was doing his thing. And this is in Judges, the 6th chapter. Judges, the 6th chapter, beginning verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And then Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon, he's one of the great men of faith, felt forsaken. How about Elijah? After defeating 400 prophets of Baal, a huge victory. In this 1 Kings, 19th chapter, and he was running. He was running, he thought, for his life. And he says, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. He was giving up. He felt forsaken. How about David? David, we know, is a man after God's own heart. He made some terrible mistakes, but he remained faithful to God through it all, even though he did have a lot of some mistakes. In Psalm 22, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me and from the words of my groaning? In despair, he felt forsaken. And in verse Psalm 51 in verse 12, he felt the separation from God. He was alone, away from God. And he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. This joy of his salvation had been lost. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Even though these men were followers of God, and we recognize them as great men. Another one's Job. Job says, the arrows of the Almighty are in me. My spirit drinks their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. But he remained faithful. These men remained faithful. So I think we can follow their example. Even though circumstances at the moment can overwhelm us, sometimes they do, and they will, then we can remain faithful. Follow the example of these. But what about Jesus? When I quoted, my God, why have you forsaken me? Many of us thought of Jesus and what he said on the cross. He was always with God. He never left. He always knew God was there. In fact, just not very long before this, he said this, he had spent hours talking with his father in the garden before he was arrested and killed, or arrested and crucified. He doesn't fit any of these examples that we've given. So why does he say, my God, why have you forsaken me? The question is not a question of logic. It's not so much as looking for an answer. It's a cry of despair. So why was he in despair? In Isaiah, we find that the writer says, your sins have hidden God's face from you. And Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Jesus took our sins. Sins are what separate us from God. Sin is what causes us to be forsaken by God when we forsake him first. I think that's why Jesus cried out, because he was feeling the weight of our sins. He was separated from God so that we don't have to be. John, 1 John in the 4th chapter, he says, and this is love, not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The propitiation is a payment. He was payment. It's called atoning sacrifice. He made the sacrifice of being apart from God so that we don't have to forever. First Peter again says that for Christ suffered once for sins, he's the righteous suffering for the unrighteous. So what about you? Where are you? When trouble comes, and it will, or maybe it already has been there. Maybe you already have the trouble. Where are you? What group will you be in? Will you be in the group that does not acknowledge God? 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." How about the group that acknowledges God but doesn't obey him? Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 1, says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Maybe if our sins separate us from God, maybe we choose our own way over his way, he'll forsake us like he did Saul and Judas. How about the group that trusts God, even when it seems like he may not be right there helping? Remember Job? He thought God had left him, but God had not left him. Remember David, Gideon, Elijah? God had not left him, though it did feel like it. And Wigan, let's live with the example that Jesus provided. On Luke 23 and verse 46, at the end of his life, let's take that, what he said, and apply it to our lives as we live. His Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Let's live with that in mind. So are we following Jesus? Could it be you've been following him and turned away? If so, it's time to turn back. Turn back to him. Leave the sinful way behind. Or maybe you never had a relationship with him in the first place. If that's the case, it's a good time to get to know him. Trust him. Be willing to leave sinful practices. Tell others that you believe he's the Son of God, and identify with him in his death and resurrection by being baptized. Paul wrote to the Romans and explained it in Romans 6, verse 4. "We're buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Newness of life. So if we can help you in any way, if you'd like to study these matters some more, you can contact one of the ministers on the email address that's on your screen, or you can get in touch with any of the elders by emailing us at elders@gracemine.org. If we can help you, please let us know.
Thank you, Steve, for reminding us that we are not forsaken by God. I do have a prayer request before we begin observing the Lord's Supper. Pam is requesting prayers for her father, Frank, and she has sent this message. "Mom has had such a mild COVID that one would never know she had it. Dad is struggling. He has had three bad mornings where he thought he was dying but would pull through by the afternoon. We are at a wait and see stage with him, waiting to see if his lungs will heal. He is still at the VA hospital. The hardest thing for him is the isolation.
So I think that we need to go ahead and pray for Frank and for all of the family. Would you bow with me, please? Father, we are lifting up Frank to you this morning and all of his family, and we know that he is suffering with COVID at this time, and his recovery has questions associated with it, and we understand that he experiences this while feeling isolated and very much alone, as family cannot visit him. And Father, we pray for Frank, and we pray for you to guide this situation in a way that is in accordance with your will. Father, we pray that he feels your presence, that he feels a peace, and that he feels a comfort, and that he feels he is not forsaken, but that he is aware that you love him and are with him. And Father, we also pray that you will be with those who are treating him. We ask for mercy for his body, that he will be healed and will be brought back to his family. Thank you for hearing our prayer. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we share the communion together, we will sing, "I Gave My Life for Thee."
To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper this morning, I'll be reading Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Pray for the bread. Dear God, we come to you at this time, thankful for this Lord's Day and this opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper, and we're so mindful that you sent your Son to die for us and forgive us for our sins, Lord. And at this time, we pray that you open our hearts and our minds and to fully be present for remembering your body that hung on the cross. And all the works that you did while you were here on earth, Lord. And we thank you so much for sending your Son to die for us and forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God, in prayer again. Dear God, we're come to you again, so thankful for the blood that was shed on the cross for us, such a painful incident that happened, Lord, and we're so mindful of that, and that's why we take these opportunities on Sundays to remember that sacrifice that was given for us, Lord, and we ask that you let us take this cup in a way that's well-pleasing to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper. Let's go to God in prayer again. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for, again, this Lord's Day to be together, though not in person, but virtually, to just have that capability and that option, Lord. And we're reminded that the church is not just a building, and that it's all of its members and all the men and the women and the children that make it up, Lord, and we miss being together, but we're thankful that we have the technologies that we do, and we know it's been a rough year for so many with illnesses and jobs and so many other things, Lord, and we just ask that you allow us to open our hearts and to give back a portion of what you've given unto us, and so that your works can continue. And again, we thank you for sending your only Son for us to die for us, and forgive us for our sins. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Let's close with a prayer and a few announcements. Join with me in prayer, please. Lord, we're so thankful to be able to come together today by this means that you have provided to us. We pray for each one of our number and friends and family that are sick, and that they may be brought back to a better state of health. Be with those who are lonely or isolated, those that have other needs. May they those needs be met, Father. May we always have impressed upon us, Lord, the greatest thing that we need to dwell on in our walk in this life, and that's a close walk with you. May we always have that walk, and may we never depart from your side, because we so need you. This is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.